You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome along to the Irish Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. It's Bank Holiday Monday and two Irish cards today amongst a glut of domestic action as well. We'll be focusing on the Fairy House card, the Irish Grand National, of course, the feature on this Bank Holiday Monday. And we've got plenty of good graded action that precedes that as well. All in all, should be a fantastic day from the Emerald Isle. And joining myself, Sam Norris, on the preview as ever is Andy Holding. Morning, Andy.
Morning, Sam.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good, yeah.
Good. No doubt you've been up since the crack of dawn trying to wade through all the cards we've got today. About 97 meetings.
Yeah, I was doing it for the majority of yesterday afternoon, trying to trawl through the whole batch of runners that we've got up and down the country. And, of course, Fairy House being the main port of call for me today. A glittering array of talents we've got on show. Plenty of good handicaps. Of course, the centrepiece is the Irish Grand National with a big race of the year over in Ireland. And we've got a 29-strong field going to post, and lots of different angles you could approach this race at as well, Sam.
Yeah, you're right. And as you say, 29 runners there. It feels like Gordon Elliott's got about 20 of those as well. He's mob-handed in the race this year.
Yeah, it's a bit of a neck-and-neck situation, isn't it, in these races? Who has the most runners? Gordon Elliott, or should I say, Giggingstown, or
yeah.
JP McManus? I think it's somewhere to dead heat, isn't it? I think JP's got four and Giggingstown have got six or seven, so yeah, Giggingstown get the vote this time. But yeah, it's a fascinating affair, the Irish Nationals, always is, and it brings together a good mix of old and new, which is always makes life difficult for punters. We don't know how good the likes of Bonnie Kate and the Venetian Demar are going to be against the old stagers. That's the $64,000 question.
Yeah, indeed. We look forward to that race in due course then, but we must start with Fairy House's 240. This is the first race on the card, and we kick things off with a 2-mile Grade 2 juvenile hurdle. At the time of recording, Jer's Girl is still in the market, but she won her race yesterday, Andy, so she'll likely come out, and that should leave us with the dead eight.
Hopefully, yeah. I've actually anticipated Jer's Girl not running in this race because I've already had a bet. I'm quite willing to take the Rule 4 on the chin. And offer up Tocororo each way at 10-1 currently with William Hill. If you're quick off the draw, I think you'll get, therefore, with the Rule 4, slightly better than what I anticipate the SP being, around about a 4-1 shot. I reckon we're looking to get around about 5-11-2 for our money with the Rule 4. And that means that the dead eight runners will go to post as well, which makes the race even more appetising. I think this race is a two-runner race between Newbury New and Tocororo. I know Slow Motion will be a warm order, but she's yet to prove herself in the kind of company that the other two aforementioned horses have. And that's the key form line, isn't it, here at this track, on soft ground, back in February, when Newbury New came out on top, over Tocororo, and, of course, most notably, Void de Rev. Now, Void de Rev obviously took part in the Fred Winter, and probably would have won, but for falling at the last. So I do think that form is definitely the best in the book coming into this race, and, of course, it was course and distance form. And you add on top of that, Tocororo's general consistency and appreciation for testing conditions at this track. Of course, she won here early on in the year in January when she started very strongly for Swamp Fox. And all in all, Gordon Elliott's charge adds up to a fantastic each-way bet here. Barring accidents, she's got to be in the frame. And like I say, if you take that 10-1 early with the Rule 4, you're doing yourself a massive favour.
Tocororo then in the opener for Andy, a pretty strong vote. We go to race number 2 now. This is the 3:15. Again, we've got Grade 2 action here with the 2-mile novices hurdle. Sutton Place heads the market at 15-8. Moon Over Germany is 3-1. 7-1 about General Principle. 7-1 Royal Caviar. 9-1 for Jet. Attribution is 16-1, along with Babbling Stream and Drumcliff to round them off. Pretty warm order here, Andy, in the shape of Sutton Place.
Yeah, he's a lovely horse, isn't he? Definitely going the right way. He must be a good horse to win over hurdles first time out in listed company. And it was a good race as well. It brought together a whole host of just slightly under the radar Grade 1 horses. The likes of Royal Caviar, Burgess, Attribution, of course, had run against Min early on in the season. And the fact that this horse managed to win, and win as comfortably as he did, must suggest that he's got a real good engine and a good future. And he's probably the one to beat on balance of that particular form. But I also have a massive amount of time myself for Edward Harty's five-year-old in this race, Moon Over Germany. He's similarly to the favourite, has missed all the big gigs and has been gradually brought along quite slowly by his very patient trainer. He beat Baldark early on in the season at Navan. And although his old rival from the Gordon Ennett stable turned him over last time out at Nace, it was still a step forward in the direction from this five-year-old by Germany. Of course, that was his first dip outside of maiden company into decent company, and he accomplished that feat with aplomb. They pulled well clear of the rest. The time figure was very good, and indeed, Moon Over Germany's time figures have been exceptionally good, even in victory and defeat. I still think he's going the right way. He's been saved specifically for this race, and with the ground not as bad as what it might have been feared, he does want a bit of drying ground, or certainly yielding to soft, to be absolutely ideal for this horse, considering he's run on heavy ground twice. He makes plenty of appeal at his morning odds. So Moon Over Germany, quite a strong vote there in the 3.15.
Moon Over Germany for Andy. Then in race number two, we go to the 3.50 now. A handicap hurdle here over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. Isle of Hope and Dreams is the 4-1 favourite for this. My Door 8-1. Shanak is 8-1. Roll It Out 11-1. 11-1 about Total Recall, and it's bigger prices for the remainder. It looks a competitive heat, this one, Andy. What do you fancy?
Yeah, 5-6-1 the field. Pays your money, takes your choice here. Lots of different intertwining form lines meet together in the middle. Isle of Hope for Dreams, of course, is going to be a popular choice of many from the William Munning stable, with Ruby Walsh riding, well, I'm not sure we can get down to 10 stone 1 nowadays, but anyway, he's off a fairly light weight. I think My Door's a very interesting runner from the Tony Martin stable. That yard's looking as though it's coming out of the doldrums, and we know that this horse stays really well and acts on the ground and ran really well in the chase behind Sombermont here a couple of starts ago. He's ready to strike sooner rather than later. Shanak, of course, is a dual course winner, and we don't know how good he can be. But the one I quite like here is the top weight, Sonny B. He comes in in fantastic form, as indeed do a lot of John J. Walsh's horses at the moment. And this horse started his winning run at Thurles a couple of runs ago when he won very, very comfortably in the hands of Brian O'Connell. The same jockey was on board when, similarly, he won with a bit in hand at Cork the other day. And I just like the way he's travelling and moving through his race at the moment. Just looks like a healthy horse, like a lot of the yards horses are at the moment. And I think John has done a good job here in booking his stable jockey, or his stable conditional jockey, Ambrose McCurtain, as well, to take five off. So he's racing with 11 stone 3 in his back rather than the top weight which he's set to carry. So I think that's a good manoeuvre. And I do think he's capable of running a huge race here. He's massive price this morning as well, 14-1. I'd have him in single figures here, given his well-being. So Sonny B, if he can get that 14-1 this morning, I think he's one of the best value bets on the card.
The top weight for Andy in the 3.50 and in the shape of Sonny B. We move ahead now to the 4.20. This is a grade two, the Keelings Irish Strawberry Hurdle. This is 2.5 furlongs. And the betting this morning is headed by Deddy Gout at 9-4, 7-2 for Gwensilly Burbass. Tagliatelle is 4-1, 5-1 for value at risk. Marquise Marconi is 10-1, Sorted Out 14s, Seamus 14s, and Plinth at 25-1. Talk us through this race, Andy.
Of course, we've got the champion here, the reigning champion, the Digout, strutting his stuff, having won this race last year. You could argue, though, however, he probably doesn't come into this race with quite the solidity that he did here 12 months ago. Of course, he won a couple of races before he came here and triumphed. So that means I'm going to pass him over in favour of Gwensilly Burbass, and more prominently, value at risk. I do think Gwensilly Burbass has got a huge chance. Of course, 5 year olds. Haven't got that many opportunities nowadays, given the sort of like the weight for age scale and how tricky it is for 4 year olds in their next season to live up to their previous season's runnings. But if you look at that run in the Hatton's Grace behind Arctic Fire and Alpha Desabo with Tagliatelle back and forth, a reproduction of that run from Alan Fleming's charge surely must give this horse a massive chance here. So he's definitely one to consider. But I quite like Dan Skelton's horse here, value at risk as well. I think it was a good manoeuvre for Dan not to run this horse at the Cheltenham Festival, and he's been specifically saved for this race. Now, of course, his chasing career was rather aborted after a couple of heavy falls early on this season, and since then he's been plying his trade over the smaller obstacles, and he definitely looked as though he was bouncing back to form last time out at Huntingdon when he finished runner-up behind Ballet de la Roque. The time figure of that race is very good, and of course the winner went on to run really well in the Coral Cup. I think he finished 5th or 6th. Back in 3rd was Sam Benedetto, who ran really well in the very good Grade 2 race at Fontwell next time out. So the form looks really solid, and I think from a positive ride from the front, I think Value at Risk could definitely shake this lot up. So he would probably be the number one choice at 5-1, but I have a little small saver just in case on Gwenzilly Berbaz.
Couple to think about there then for Andy. Value at Risk, the main choice for the Skeltons, but do keep an eye on Gwenzilly Berbaz as well in that 4:20. We go to the Fairy House feature now, and the feature race on Bank Holiday Monday coming up at 5 o'clock. The Irish Grand National, 3 miles and 5 furlongs ahead of the 29 runners for this one. And the betting this morning is headed by Bonnie Kate at 7-1, 10-1 for Venetian Demai. Marla Beach is 12-1 with Killer Crow. Cause of Causes, a winner at the Festival of Course, is 14-1, along with Another Hero, 16-1. Or bigger prices for the rest of them. What do you think about this race this year, Andy?
Yeah, it looks a fantastic renewal. Very, very wide open. 7 or 8-1 the field. It's going to be run, obviously, on testing ground, but not the absolute swamp or bog that we may have anticipated, courtesy of Hurricane Katie, which battered these shores overnight. So that makes it a very fair and mouth-watering affair. I certainly think you've got to give Bonnie Kate a massive shout here. She's been a revelation so far of offensive this season. The key to her performances has been how well she's jumped. A very accurate jumper for one so inexperienced. And, of course, she's got a course win under her belt here early on in the season when she beat Manonero. We know she stays well. Her puncher sound victory over several of these who reoppose suggests that. And if she can get into a good rhythm, and that's, of course, the thing that we don't know in a big field, at the head of affairs, and she's obviously going to take a little bit of stopping. But there are plenty of other front runners in the race as well, which could just prevent her from being at her very best. Kilford, of course, is another front runner. There's others here that like to force the issue, particularly several from the Gigging Stand Stood operation. So life won't be all that easy for Bonnie Kate. Therefore, I do think there are one or two other horses in this race to consider. Certainly Marla Beach has got to come into the equation, albeit he's got a little bit of weight on his back. Traditionally, you want to be looking with horses underneath the 11 stone barrier here for victory, but this horse has got a huge touch of class, as we saw a couple of starts ago. He ran well off a decent weight in the Thiestes Chase behind My Murphy. And then he was in the process of winning here last time out in the Bobby Joe, when unfortunately him and Davy Russell had a bit of a disagreement at the second last. That goes to show just how good he is when he's on song. And if he jumps a clear round, of course, he has made mistakes before and fallen, then he's got to be a threat. Another one to consider here, a much bigger price with a lot less weight on her back, is Baze the Eel. Now, she's only a five-year-old, but she certainly had plenty of practice. Of course, she comes from the French provinces, and she's done nothing wrong in several decent races so far this season. We know that she stays well, and her run in that Bobby Joe last time out would certainly give her has got her eye here at this track as well. So around about 25-1, she's also one to consider. So a race with massive amount of complexities and different strands of form. But my two against the field will be Marla Beach, although he's carrying a lot of weight, and Bader's Eel, who sneaks in off a much lighter weight.
Two there for Andy in the big race of the day coming up at 5 o'clock. We go to the 5:35 now. A 2.5 mile Grade 3 mare's chase here, and a small but select field where Emily Gray is the 4-5 favourite for Kim Bailey and David Bass. Urana is 9-4. Dressed to the Nines is 8-1. 14-1 for Perfect Promise. MCON is 16-1, and Give Her Back is the outsider. What do you make of these mares, Andy?
Yeah, it looks a match on paper, doesn't it, this one, Sam, between the big two in the betting, Emily Gray and Urana. Emily Gray is such a game and a tough individual that it's quite difficult to oppose her, given that she's already slayed better rivals than this field so far in her career to date. She beat Gitane de Berlay in a war of attrition at Huntingdon the last time we saw her. And, of course, prior to that, she was behind Black Hercules, who triumphed at the Cheltenham Festival in the JLT. So, all in all, her career path is very much on an upward curve. And I think this is a good bit of placing by Kim Bailey to have found a fairly mundane Grade 3 away from home soil. Obviously, Urana looks the main threat. She chased home Bonnie Kate last time out in a Grade 2 down in Limerick. And we know how tough Normese horse is to peg back from the front when she gets into a good rhythm. Prior to that, she'd beaten a similar field to this at Thurles. And, of course, trained by the master trainer herself, then she's got to have a chance of perhaps turning the favourite over. She looks the value bet if you are a value punter, but I've got to stick with Emily Gray. She can be ridden anyway from the front or dropped in behind, but I do like her when she's off the bridle. She doesn't know when she's beaten. So with that in mind, I think she's the one most likely to tough it out in the conditions in the big mare's chase today.
Emily Gray then in that race for Andy. We go to the 6:10 now, the penultimate race on Fairy House's card. We've got a novices handicap chase here. 2 miles and 6 furlongs is the trip for this one. Salsa Sensation, your 5-1 favourite this morning. 11-2 about Blue Bicycle. Milanesque is 7-1. 10-1 on the Shannon. Give Me a Break is 10-1. 10-1 Crowded Room and bigger prices for the rest. It looks tough, this one, Andy.
Yeah, it does. But I was quietly encouraged by Western Appoint. Running a big race here yesterday behind Salita. And with that in mind, Glenwood Forever, who chased home that particular individual last time out down in Wexford, would be the value pick here. Albeit this horse has yet to win a race of any description, I've got a funny feeling that he could be quite well handicapped at present. We know that soft ground isn't an issue. And, you know, that form line, that time figure that he produced last time out in finishing second to Western Appoint certainly gives him an excellent chance here. Obviously, there's others to consider, the likes of On the Shannon, Milanesque. They've been running really well in races similar to this throughout the season. And Blue Bicycle is very much an interesting runner here with only its third start of offences for the Inform Alan Fleming stable. But I'll go with that to Glenwood Forever. I do like that form figure down in Wexford. And he's a value bet this morning around about the 14-1 mark.
The bottom weight then for Andy, Glenwood Forever in the 6:10. The final race on Bank Holiday Monday then comes up at 6:40. This is a 2 mile bumper here at Fairy House. Just 5 runners lined up for this one, where Death Duty is the 5-4 favourite. 7-4 about Blow by Blow. Sunny May is 7-2. 28-1 for Bomber Stick. And Jamie Summers is 50-1. What do you like in the last, Andy?
Well, it's got to be Death Duty. I do like this horse. I think he's just been brilliantly campaigned by Gordon Elliott. He obviously knows he's got a good horse here, and he tends to sort of treat these kind of animals with a little bit more tender, loving care and sparingly than one or two of his other bump horses in his stable. I think this will be rewarded in due course. He reminds me very much of No More Heroes, the way he was sort of handled in his early career. But, you know, you only had to sort of see his last win last time at the listed race at Navan to know that he's a nice horse. He made all the running. He started very strongly to beat two very smart horses in their own right in the shape of R. Duke and, of course, Babbling Stream. Both of those two horses have franked the form throughout the season. And prior to that, he was also very strong as well down in Down Royal as well. Of course, a stiff track going right-handed, so we know he'll handle conditions today. Blow by Blow looks as though he's the main threat based on his performance last time out. And, of course, he beat subsequent winner as well, Jet, who runs earlier on in the card. Of course, Jet won last time out, so you couldn't argue that the form for that one isn't worth consideration. But I'm a massive fan of this Death Duty. I think he's a good bet this morning, actually, odds against, and he could even be sure to come post time.
Death Duty in the bumper then, Gordon Elliott, Nina Carberry and Gigginstown stood for. Andy, just remind us please then one more time your 8 selections on a mammoth day of action on Bank Holiday Monday.
Yeah, fascinating card today at Fairy House. We're looking forward to it. Goes from obviously 2:40 all the way through to the death at 6:40, so plenty of us to get our teeth into. Really keen on that Tokaroro from an each-way stance in the first race, with the likelihood of the favourite dropping out. If you can get that 10-1, I think you'll be doing yourself a favour. Moving over Germany, also a strong choice in the 3:15. On to one of the big handicaps of the day in the 3:50. I do like the top weight here, Sonny B. I think he's in great form, and I think he's worth a punt at 14-1. Two against the field in the 4:20 would be Gwenzilly Burbas, but more predominantly at the price 5-1 for value at risk. In the big race of the day, the Irish National, I've got to stick with my old friend Marla Beach, who runs consistently well if he can avoid mishap. And I do think Bard DeLeo will run well at a price. Emily Gray looks the one for the Raiders in the 5:35. In the 6:10, I'm going down the foot of the weights to find my bet there in the shape of Glenwood Forever. And in the final race, probably the best of the short ones this afternoon, is Gordon Elliott's Death Duty in the last.
There we are, Andy Holding's thoughts on the Fairy House card today. And we'll endeavour to try and take what we can from Fairy House on Racing Radio from 1:10 p.m. in and amongst all the domestic action as well. It's Darren Owen, John Budden and Craig Forsyth guiding you through the action on this busy Bank Holiday Monday. Thank you very much, Andy, and enjoy the action today.
Thanks, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.